Welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast here at Archant Towers, the best independent Canaries podcast out there and listened to in across 56 countries. I've been meaning to say those things for about half a season. I finally wrote them down. So there we go. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined by EDP columnist Ian Clark and chief Norwich City writer Paddy Davitt. Good evening, afternoon, gentlemen. It is... Good day to you all. It is, what day is it today? Thursday. So that's quite a few days after Saturday. Apologies for that. It was more of a logistical issue than any kind of sulking. Although, are we all still sulking?
A little bit. More sadness than sulking.
We seem to be in sort of festooned with resignation, if that's probably not the right way of putting it.
I like to see myself as a fairly half-full type of fan, generally. But even I'm now and thinking the drop is coming, sadly.
And I guess that has little to do with what happened at the Emirates on Saturday, really, does it, Pad?
Well, if anything, that's even more frustrating, isn't it? Setting aside the issues with Arsenal, the fans, Wenger, rah-rah, to go there and perform as they did, albeit come up short in terms of the result... You just get to thinking, what if again, don't you? What if Bournemouth away? What if Stoke away? What if Villa away? You know, it's an entirely avoidable fate, I think, if it is to be what we all feel it probably looking like, and that's the return to the Championship. And that's going to gnaw away at a lot of people, I think, inside and outside the club.
It's funny, isn't it, how it all gets distilled into about three or four games. Whenever you have a season like this, there's the real low points. And you mentioned Bournemouth, which was a horror show, a genuine horror show. Aston Villa away. I mean, I can't remember who it was, but there was a pundit or a journalist somewhere. I think it was Ian McIntosh on Football Weekly. He said, Newcastle, of course, head to Aston Villa. You don't deserve to be in the Premier League if you lose to Aston Villa this season.
Yeah, absolutely true. And I think they've got momentum, haven't they? Newcastle and Sunderland have. And there are all those games. And you can throw in the two games that went to West Ham, the home game against Liverpool. And in isolation, each of them were not great. But when you add them together, it's the cumulative effect, I think, of just the missed opportunities. And we haven't been scoring enough goals. And, you know, those chances at Arsenal, if they'd have been taken, it would have been a different story. But you can't keep saying we played well and didn't get anything out of it, defended pretty well, but had a slip and let that one goal in. And the margins are so important, aren't they?
And it's rather random that we're now talking about Newcastle. I know they've played a game more, but if they do win at Villa, which you would expect them to, they'll be on 36 points. They're properly on the verge of being certainly pole position for survival.
Which, given rewind a little, all that long ago to trooping off at Carrow Road, having been done in stoppage time in the most painful fashion, is quite a remarkable turnaround. It was almost that, in hindsight, might prove to be the catalyst rather than the final nail in the coffin. But... And also they've got a Spurs team who, frankly, are they going to raise themselves now at home on the final day? At Newcastle, sorry, on the final day. So I think it's long since passed from Norwich relying on others. They need to take care of their own business and singularly unable to do that. I mean, three defeats now since... Was it since Newcastle, actually? It was, wasn't it? Three defeats, not scored a goal. You know, there's only one way that form line leads, and that's into the Football League.
Is it 12 goals in 15 games? Seven of those came in two games. And in those 15 games, we've shipped 29 goals. I think that those stats are right. But it's, you know, so two games, seven goals is pretty good. So that then means in another 12 games, there's going to be five goals.
And they just aren't scoring away from home. They've got such a terrible record away from home, which, again, I find so bizarre given... You know, they were unbeaten away from home going into the season. You know, I know it's a step up and all that sort of stuff, but maybe that all comes down to the Newcastle game as well. I mean, in terms of what happened at the Emirates, I think you kind of summed it up, really, Clarky. Norwich had chances, couldn't take them. They had the better chances. Arsenal get their first one, and they stick it away. And I guess it's the quality of the chance that Norwich conceded, really.
I just feel, in general, Clarky's put it quite clear there with the stats that are pretty damning, but just a general lack of conviction from, and it doesn't matter which Norwich player it is. Redmond had a couple of strikes at the Emirates, and fair enough, he hit the target, and that's what you ask players to do in those positions. Good saves from Cech, but it's almost like they just don't believe it themselves when they get in these positions. I mean, I was watching, and I know it's chalk and cheese, but I was watching the Champions League on Tuesday night, the Bayern-Atletico game. Atletico have about 30-odd% possession. They break away for probably the first and only time in the game. Griezmann, cool as you like. Neuer, supposedly one of the best, if not the best keepers in the world, slots it, game over. Now, I know, as I say, we're talking levels, but you just think, if you put any Norwich player in that position this Saturday with De Gea to beat, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And whether that's whether we're talking about the quality of the players they've got or not, I don't know if that's solely down to the quality of player, but they're just, there's a general lack of conviction about them in both boxes, sadly.
But you say Atleti are obviously a different kettle of fish. If you look at the Premier League, that's exactly what Leicester have done. They've almost rewritten the rule book on whether you need possession or not, and they've done that with a guy who was playing in non-league football a few years ago, and I know that's been a well-told story, but that's how it's gone.
I think conviction's a good word, confidence is a good word, belief is another word. And you know, I sit in the top of the River End, and before the game they're warming up, and you know, they're all banging in the top corner, bottom corner, and we're sitting there going, maybe this is the week where they're finally going to start finding their inner game, and they all look full of it. And then for some reason, when the actual game starts and you get the fluff chances and the ones that blaze over towards us, and I don't know, maybe it's just the snowball effect of the belief when it comes to the big moments.
I have to say, I have watched the warm-ups a few weeks. It amazes me how many they miss in the warm-up. But I know you can't read anything into that. I guess the other point maybe worth bringing up, Paddy, with Atleti and Leicester, both really cohesive sides, incredibly well organised. They know exactly what they're doing, much as Norwich were, you know, praised last year. Do you see that kind of cohesiveness to Norwich?
I thought I saw it Saturday. Gone. Yeah, I thought that was very good without the ball. It's easier to. I mean, they almost basically just said, "Well, Arsenal, you can have it in 2/3 of the pitch, but try popping it through 10 outfield players when you get anywhere near John Ruddy's goal." And there was a lot of parallels, I thought, with the Man City away game as well in terms of that approach. But you know, that's only going to carry you so far in the Premier League, particularly the situation they're in. You need to carry a threat at the opposite end of the pitch, and you know, it's a difficult one. I mean, again, you probably take Clarkie's point about the confidence is clearly pretty low now, and I just think they've squandered it. I think after that Newcastle game, on the back of Man City before that and West Brom, you go to Crystal Palace and they were so passive that day. It was just untrue. And Alex Neil himself said that he'd more or less sent them there just to make it a scrappy game and he hoped to nick a goal. Well, that isn't the Alex Neil we were used to last season. There's no way, you know, if that had been in the Championship, Norwich had gone there, hoped to dig in and nick something. They'd have gone for the jugular, and it probably, the tone is set from the manager, and unfortunately they have been far too passive, I think, over the second half of the season.
Just on a couple of little details in the game, Clarkie. I mean, they did defend pretty well, and I know, you know, maybe they defended as well as they can at somewhere like Arsenal. Ivo Pinto's had a lot of stick. I thought he did okay. He's pretty sort of wincing. Are you wincing?
No.
Okay. Ivo Pinto did pretty well coming in. Ryan Bennett was missing, obviously, and we had Seb and Russell Martin in the middle.
I mean, I was amazed that Pinto played. Clearly, circumstance dictated it, and from what I saw, I didn't see the whole game, but from what I saw, he did okay. I just think it's, you know, I know we keep talking about Closer and the stability he brought. I just feel that Bessong's not up to it anymore. When Bennett's playing with someone like Closer, I think he looks strong. When he's playing with Bessong, he doesn't look the same player. I think he needs that leadership next to him. Russ Martin's an interesting one. I'm far less critical about him than a lot of people are. And clearly he's made mistakes this year, and we could look at the Liverpool game and other times, but you know where you are with him, and he's got his limitations, but I do think he almost, if you like, plays to his limitations, and he knows what he can and can't do, and it gives you a sort of a simplicity, really. But you know, when you look at that back line and then you look at other back lines and other front lines, we're going to struggle to match them, aren't we?
Well, that sounds too gloomy.
Well, it's too late now, to be honest. And at the other end, Pad, I mean, Nathan Redmond had three decent chances. Two of them were on target and forced reasonable saves. Gary O'Neill probably had a very good, the best chance almost when he was through, and it was the sort of chance that Eden Hazard stuck in the top corner against Spurs, and Gary sort of ended up somewhere in the stands. I mean, Were they good enough chances?
All day long. I mean, Redmond had basically perfect control of both of those crosses, no player around him, and just checked to beat. And as I say, you know, it depends where you want to sit on that one. I mean, he hit the target, forced the keeper to work. So, but I just, as I go back to what I said earlier, I think if that had been, you know, basically any decent Premier League operator in the final third, I think it'd have been in the back of the net. So, you know, they just flatter to deceive, don't they? You know, that's the problem. Too often this season, you feel that it's there for them, it's there for the taking, and you know, it can't be a coincidence. It must come down to those players simply aren't good enough. There isn't enough Premier League quality in that squad. And then that's a whole different debate about the recruitment strategies, and by their own admission, they got it wrong in the summer. They were too slow. They tried to correct it in January. Couldn't have foreseen, obviously, the closer injury. That was a massive blow, I think, in the final analysis. But as Naismith proved why they were after him, no. Not that I can see. Pinto, as decent as he was Saturday, no. So Malumbu, if you want to go back to the summer, he's not kicked on, has he? So Doran's recruitment hasn't been good enough, and that's certainly one of the main factors. When the dust settles, and there'll be plenty of questions and hopefully a few answers provided, that recruitment will be one of the major issues, I think.
We haven't got any audio from Alec Neil or anyone else. Archambault wasn't allowed in the mix zone by Norwich City on Saturday. One thing Russell Martin did say, he said to the BBC boys, I think, that it feels different this year because 2 years ago they were a bit comfortable, they were out of the relegation zone and they figured they would be all right. This year it feels different because they've really tried and gone for it. Now, if you were going to be horrible and distill it, what you could say is last year they were probably good enough and got a bit complacent. This time they just haven't been good enough and they almost know it.
I think that's a fair summary, and as you both said, it's when it comes down to it and you need to defend well and you need to score goals, two simple things in football. If you can't do one of them, you're in trouble. If you can't do both of them, you're in deep trouble. And the number of goals we've scored recently, the number of goals we've let in, it's a fairly simple reason why we're second from bottom. And, you know, it's an obvious point, but the bottom three teams come May the 15th deserve to go down over 38 games.
Absolutely. We'll touch on the Arsenal protests. We won't spend very long on it, though, Paddy. What did you make of them?
not a great deal of anger there, was there? It was almost a bit of an afterthought. I think there was a few who'd obviously been down the library and printed off them banners, but
there was laminated, I think.
There you go then. Well, it's North London, no expense spared, I suppose. But the vast majority of the punters reacted quite swiftly and vociferously, and that they were pro Wenger. So, no, if you were taking the temperature as a neutral observer, you wouldn't say he was heading for the scrap heap anytime soon, I don't think.
Mr. Freezer, I don't know if you saw on his Twitter, Dave Freezer, our colleague, he was getting very angry. He went as a fan. There was videos, he was calling them spoiled children.
He was very angry, yeah. He came into our world for a day. But no, I think the whole Arsenal thing's fascinating. I mean, you know, if you look at completely dispassionately, they haven't really moved on, and yet there is so much loyalty among so many to Wenger, isn't there?
What I loved was some booed, some got angry at each other. They were all quite angry for various different reasons, kind of poles apart in terms of their opinions. They all pretty much left 5 minutes before half time because they didn't like what they were watching on the pitch. Just about summed it up. Okay, well, I, obviously I'm not doing this to preempt anything, but I thought we might have a quick little look at the Championship because Burnley have been promoted. Well done, Burnley. They've bounced back at the first attempt. Apparently it can be done.
It has been done in the past, yes.
Yeah, of course it has. Norwich.
Well, recently,
Norwich has set the trend. But bouncing back at the second first time of asking might be a bit trickier, but Brighton could follow suit. Chris Hughton's side, their top scorers in the Championship, Pad.
Who'd have thought it? I'd love to see the man do it because he was, well, he was as a man, he was a top drawer operator, and we all know how it unravelled. But isn't it strange? I mean, yeah, as you rightly say there, and I watched a bit of the game against Derby on the Bank Holiday Monday, and the Hughton of Norwich and how he set his teams up, bore no relation to that Brighton team. You know, they were vibrant, attacking, they wanted to go forward on the front foot all the time. So you know, you can see the parallel there. We discussed it earlier about Alex Neil. You know, again, swashbuckling in the Championship, Premier League is almost, there's an element of, you know, he's come away from that in a big way, and he's not being true to his, you know, how he wants to go about it and how he wants to play football and how his sides want to play football. So whether it is just the all-consuming nature of the Premier League just weighs people down and just grinds you down, because, you know, that is not an Alex Neil team or style of play we're watching at the minute, and hasn't been since the turn of the year. And he said himself, didn't he? I remember the beating the Swansea 1-0 down here just before Christmas, and he was more or less saying that's the way it's got to be now, because the way we were playing was maybe more pleasing on the eye, but it wasn't getting the results. But the reality is they've gone more circumspect and they still haven't got enough results, so you're damned if you do, aren't you?
And the problem is Watford and Bournemouth both have sort of stuck true to their, well, maybe not, I don't think Watford have got any principles, they just have bring in a new manager, but certainly Bournemouth have just carried on where they left off.
Yeah, and Eddie Howe said earlier on when they were struggling, didn't he, said, look, I'm not going to change the way that I operate, the way that we operate, and, you know, it pains as much for me to say it, but fair play to him, they've pretty much kept to a plan A. And maybe that's been part of the problem for Norwich, that you almost don't know what the real DNA of the team is. It's some weeks it's a bit of this, then it's a bit of that, and the personnel changes, the format changes. You know, you park the bus, then you go on a lay-by, and then you drive, you know, all these different sort of formations and approaches. And sometimes you think, just stick to what you're doing, and obviously you've got strong opposition, but if you know what you're doing, it makes it easier.
I think the reality on that, though, is, and you hear managers often, they almost poo-poo systems and formations and that, and they say it's about having good players. So sadly, the fact that he's had to basically, you know, spin so many plates, it's almost a tacit acceptance he hasn't got enough good players. Because if he had, as Clarkey says, if he had guys who were doing the business and producing the results in terms of points on the board, then I don't think we'd have seen anywhere near the amount of experimentation in terms of his tactics and his approach. So again, without wanting to sound like a broken record, it comes back down to the recruitment. That squad that came back out of the Championship weren't good enough to survive in the Premier League, because a lot of those players weren't good enough 2 years ago. So they needed to go out and really, I think, do a major send a major signal of intent. Not in January, it was too late.
I'm sure we'll save it for another day, the whole Bournemouth spending twice their turnover on wages to get out of the Championship from a couple of years ago, and that is, of course, the context of the situation all clubs find themselves in. Josh Murphy was named MK Don's Player of the Player. Player of the Player? Player's Player of the Year at the Championship Club. They've, of course, been relegated, but a productive season on loan for him. I guess their futures will be dictated by what happens in the next three games as well.
And it's another interesting moment. Do you bring the lads back, you know, if we do go down, do you bring the lads back and give them a try, and then hopefully they get us out of the Championship, and then do you get back to them, well, they're not good enough, so you need to bring a whole load of bigger ones in? Do you, I mean, I think it's got to be a mix of bringing some of the lads through and having the more experienced quality. But I think they are two players that we'd like to see bring through, because they've clearly, you know, got a lot of talent.
Big discussions there over the summer, definitely. United, anyway, this weekend. It's not over yet.
No.
It's not over yet. Hey, come on, Pads. Recreate what happened at Old Trafford. Win. Newcastle's terrible away form continues.
At Villa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And Chelsea do what? Chelsea turn Sunderland.
They turn up, yeah.
What are you two been moaning for the last half an hour?
I know.
It's obvious.
Getting it out of our system.
Well, the reality is they do win in the early kickoff. They're out of the bottom three when those are the two kickoff. So, you know, a lot of ifs and buts and maybes, but it's not beyond them. If they can go to Old Trafford and win, unfortunately, I think United are in a better state of affairs now than they were back in December. The only thing you would say is they've got the FA Cup on the horizon. So, but sadly, I think Man City, if they'd have got something at Southampton last Sunday, that gap would have been too big. I think even Van Gaal was saying top four was beyond them prior to Man City kicking off a little bit later on the Sunday afternoon. So I think the gap's only 4 points now, which is still tantalising, really, to, you know, in terms of his approach and how he sends them out. But as we've said so often, it isn't really about what the opposition bring to this now. It's about what Norwich can do. And I think it is as big as if they don't win Saturday. I don't see a scenario now where they survive. So it really is down to these 90 minutes now.
I mean, with United, they were in a different position, but they were also unbeaten at home, I think, at that point. They've only conceded 8 goals at home. Norwich have scored 2 of those. So sadly, this is at Carrow Road. maybe a bit of a shame in that score. I mean, people have probably been listening to this and going, oh, you're all being so negative. But I think it's just analysing the situation Norwich City are in. We're all well aware that they can turn it on because they've done it here, there and everywhere, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen.
I'd like to say realistic rather than negative. You know, we all want Norwich to do well. I mean, you know, we've all followed the team in different ways for so many years, and you know, I don't like sitting saying bad, you know, bad stuff, but when you see a lot of it, you almost, you know, you have to be true to yourself and admit the flaws there are. Of course, there's still a chance, but you know, I just come back to that momentum of the way that Newcastle and Sunderland have been doing recently. I could see them both picking up four, probably 6 points each, and Norwich possibly 5. I mean, I could see us maybe a draw against United, beating Watford, and a draw against Everton would, in a normal course of events, would be a reasonable return. But will that be enough? Probably not.
Well, I think the big issue is that, say, Norwich do lose at home to United, which wouldn't be a great stretch. Say, Newcastle do beat Villa, Newcastle will be 5 points ahead of Norwich, and Norwich will only have 2 games to play. I think it's unlikely we'll get a pod done between Man U and Watford. I mean, I suppose, however we draw it, Norwich have to win a game like Watford, don't they? It's that straightforward. That has to be 3 points, otherwise that's that.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately there was a lot of talk about, because that was the game that was moved because of their FA Cup involvement, whether they'd been better playing at that point. But I think now Watford are out of the FA Cup, no danger in the league midweek. You couldn't handpick a better opponent. But you know, again, if it's not gone from on Saturday against United, and the results around the country have compounded that, then mentally, are they going to be in the right state of mind to go and do the business? Because it might be too late by then.
It's my birthday on the Watford game, and my one hope is we don't get relegated on my birthday, because that would hurt.
Oh, there's a question there. Norwich being relegated at home, has that happened?
I remember losing to Leicester. This is probably in the early 80s, losing to Leicester. And I think that either sealed relegation or all but sealed it, if my old brain is remembering it rightly. But there haven't been too many opportunities, have
they? I mean, I think theoretically the Arsenal defeat last time, because they didn't get that 19-goal swing we were all hoping for.
There's still never been a relegation the year ending in 6, though, has there? For Norwich.
Do you want me to say yet?
Possibly.
OK, well, on that cheery note, let's wrap this up, because I think we've all had enough of that. Sorry, it's only football, it's fine. Don't worry too much. But we will, of course, be there covering it all. As usual, we'll have the live coverage, pinken.com/live. Paddy will be setting up all the game and fun, and then with everything afterwards as well, and in between, all in the Eastern Daily Press and at pinken.com. Throughout France on mustardtv.co.uk, and the usual sports extra stuff. You know where it all is. Anything else anyone wants to say?
Come on, you yellows. On the ball, City.
Slower, Clarky.
On the ball, City.
Oh, what a lovely note to finish on. OK, well, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, gents. And we'll see you probably on the other side of Watford. Keep those fingers, toes, everything crossed. Bye for now.